So if someone comes to you and they confide in you about something, they're telling you. Mm-hmm. They're not telling you your group chat, your auntie,
your significant other,
the person who pumping gas.
Welcome to Adulthood Loading, a wellness podcast for young adults still trying to figure it out.
The content of this podcast is for entertainment and informational purposes only, and is not intended to be a substitute for professional, psychological, psychiatric, or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified mental health providers for any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or mental disorder. No new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no, no, no. I still ride with my day one, day one. I don't really need no new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no, no, no. Hey everyone, I'm Emma.
I'm Marissa.
And we're back with another episode.
So, no new friends.
I mean, we actually talked about this like very briefly in our first episode. What was it that you said again, Marissa?
By the time you're an adult, it's like if you don't have your friend group locked in, you're kind of doomed to a life of loneliness. Yeah, but before that, I also said, I think another myth is this whole how to make friends as an adult. So the reality is that building friendships can be hard. And I think when we were younger, we kind of had less to lose, you know? Yeah. It was easier. It's like, you like this game. I like this game. Let's play together on the playground, you know? But now, as an adult, I think it's just very confusing, potentially embarrassing. You know, it's very easy to kind of just say, no, no friends. I'm not trying to friend off anyone else right now, because there's no rules to it. And I feel like it's almost like dating in a way, you know, because it's like, how do I as an adult tell someone, you know, I want to be a friend? Like, do I ask for your number? Like, how do
hey, you would be a good friend.
Yeah. Like, how do we do that? And you know, it's like, while it's easier to talk, you know, in a group chat about me dating this guy or, you know, just dating in general, it's kind of weird to bring up, like, how do I make friends? Because you don't want to sound like, I don't know, you just don't want to sound friendless. It's just weird.
But there's good news though, Marissa. So young adulthood has been described to be what? The golden age for forming friendships. You know, this is a time when our identity is more secure than it was in adolescence. And, you know, friendships have become a bit more complex and they're more meaningful at this stage. So let's just get into what we can do to build and strengthen new and existing friendships by exploring some common scenarios.
So I think one thing that a lot of people say is like they feel like they should know how to make and keep friends as an adult. And they feel like something is wrong if they're struggling to maintain friendships. And I think when you look at adulthood in general, we feel like we just should have, we have a lot of shoulds, right? And we feel like we should have certain things. And it's almost like we should have a friend group already set and already in place. And I should just have my people. But as y'all know, as I've been preaching, these expectations. And it's like, when we hold on to these things and we hold on to these beliefs and these expectations, that's kind of where the shame comes from.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm not fulfilling this thing and I should have, I'm a failure. You know, friendships require effort and time. And I think if it's one thing that we learned through this whole adulting is that effort and time are very precious. They're not as available as we'd want them to be. So, you know, that there are going to be times where you have a friendship and it just doesn't work out. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a poor reflection on you. It's just a very nuanced thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, when you look at your dating attempts or maybe your attempts at mastering a task, you don't always like do well on the first try. So right. That doesn't mean that if you have a situation where you try to be friends with someone and you just realize like maybe y'all were incompatible or maybe y'all had a fallout, that doesn't necessarily mean like, okay, let me just do away with this whole friendship thing. Let me ride out by myself, you know?
I agree. I think we need to embrace the failed attempts at friendships. You know, each one is getting us closer to developing the friendships that we want anyway. So in a way, it's a gift. Like showing us what we don't want also shows us what we do want. And sometimes, like you say, it's very nuanced. Sometimes you can't like pinpoint it because on paper, like, yeah, they're kind, they're reliable, they're funny, and it could still not feel like a right fit. So when you're developing a friendship too, I think there's certain things you could do as well, especially if you're struggling. So a big part of communication is listening. So sometimes you'll be the one getting support and sometimes you'll be the one giving it. So ask what's happening in your friend's lives. Show them that you're really paying attention to them by looking them into their eyes instead of just being like this on your phone and like, you know, they feel like you're not giving them their attention and this might be something that's difficult for them to express, face them. Remember the little things. If they talk about difficult experiences, be empathetic without giving advice if they don't ask for it. I know it's so easy sometimes for us to be like, but you could do this, but you could do that. Chances are people have thought of so many potential solutions sometimes. It's just maybe they need someone to just be there with them. They need someone to just understand. And if they want help, chances are they'll ask for, you know, help in terms of like, what do you think I should do?
I think people tend to try to give advice because yeah. They might be a bit uncomfortable with the conversation or it might be their own anxiety from what is being spoken about. But I think just try to remember like what you said, they're coming to you because they want to share this with you. And sometimes people just need to vent and you don't have to feel like you have the solution. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel like you need to give a solution. You just have to be there because sometimes that's just what persons need in that moment.
Agreed. And then, you know, another one is being vulnerable, being real, being open, only having small talk. And a lot of us don't like small talk. Can keep the relationship stuck at, you know, the superficial, like kind of pre-friendship level. You're like, oh, cute shoes. Yeah. Oh yeah. I haven't seen you in so long. So opening up about, I feel like I yelled just now, opening up about personal experiences helps you to build greater intimacy and like genuine connection. So letting them know that you care about them and just being more open about your experiences can strengthen that connection. Also avoiding being conflict averse out of fear that, you know, having difficult conversations may make you a quote unquote bad friend. You're doing yourself a disfavor and the other person if you're not being open and honest about things you like or you do not like, especially within that, the context of that relationship. The way for you to build friendships that you genuinely enjoy maintaining and friends that you generally enjoy being around is to be honest, is to be yourself. And, you know, conflict is common. It's a natural part of all close relationships. No two people are alike. Like, chances are there's going to be some form of conflict. And conflict isn't a bad thing. You know, we're going to have disagreements. It's just how you deal with that conflict. So, like, confronting it in a respectful manner and in an open manner is a good thing.
Yeah. And I think another thing too is when you are making a friend, you have to show that you're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to you and they confide in you about something, they're telling you. Mm-hmm. They're not telling you your group chat, your auntie,
your significant other,
the person who pumping gas. they are confiding in you, and I think it's just respectful to maintain that privacy, you know, and show that, you know, you could come to me with personal things and I'm not going to share it without your permission, you know, or without your consent. And I think another thing is, you know, showing that you could keep commitments. So if I, maybe if I invite you somewhere or if I ask you to do something, how are you reciprocating as a friend? Because I think it really just goes back to this being a relationship at the end of the day. And the effort, it needs to be equal on both sides.
Yeah.
So if it is that I asked you to do something or I invited you to something, it shows me that you're committed to this relationship when you show up.
Yeah.
And showing up, yes, to events, but also just showing up for me, you know, to support me, to be there for me, being on time, keeping things private. You're showing up for me in those moments. And I think when you keep on having that like positive, what is it?
It's like positive reinforcement. I think it's like, you know, people be here, they're doing this, they're, you know, they like me for me. I don't feel like I have to be somebody else around them because I'm not going to do that. Like who I am is amazing. I'm not saying growth is never needed. I'm just saying like, if they don't like me for my authentic self, this is a problem.
Yeah. When you have that positive reinforcement that the person is showing up and that the person is being authentic and that you are connecting, that is how you maintain friendships.
Yeah.
And it's when maybe those connections aren't happening or you're not feeling it as often, that's when maybe people who have been in friendships a bit longer, they start to feel like things have changed. So this is another scenario where people feel like, you know, the friendships that I've had for a long, long time, I'm not really sure where we kind of like stand. Are we still friends? Is it fading? You know, especially let's say if you made a newer friend or you have a more recent friendship that feels a bit more like closer,
mm-hmm.
right? And it just goes back to relationships are complex and they evolve and sometimes things change.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a situation where, you know, maybe the things that bonded that friendship, let's say if you guys were college roommates or you were in the same class on a soccer team, or maybe you used to work at this place, maybe the things that bonded y'all are no longer in place. Maybe you've had a transition, maybe you've moved, and it's a bit harder to keep up.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe it's a situation where, you know, sometimes you just have, maybe it's just the type of friendship that you have. So I think we can't apply the same rules to all friendships. There's some going to be some friendships where you probably hanging out with them consistently all the time, but there's other friendships that, you know, you've had with people maybe in high school. We don't talk every day, but it was never an issue. It's never a situation that made us fall out. So when we do talk, it's almost as if like, let's catch up, you know? It's just a matter of, I think, being mindful that you're in control of how you want your relationships to play out. If it is that you feel like you want to connect more with a friendship and it's fading, definitely vocalize that. And if it is a situation where, you know, y'all don't talk every day, and but when y'all do talk, it feels natural, that's just that type of friendship.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes relationships may have been unhealthy from the jump, or they've now become unhealthy. So like, it feels one-sided. You feel drained after every interaction. They don't respect any boundaries. They have all of these unrealistic expectations of you where you always need to be there 24/7. And you just find yourself just being stressed out, like anticipating the next time you meet up. You know, although this can bring some fear and guilt sometimes, because you might be like, oh, I'm neglecting this friendship that I had for so long. Ending this kind of relationship also makes room for healthier relationships if this is your decision. And then, like Marissa said, like our schedules become super busy, and it sometimes is really difficult to spend time with the friends that you have. And then making new ones just seem like, well, how are we going to do that? I barely have time to connect with so-and-so. Like, this is just not possible. Try to remember that. Like we said, nobody is available 24/7. You know, be kind. Like, this is basically the core of all successful adult relationships. Criticism and negativity, like jealousy, are harmful to a relationship. So when I say criticism, I don't mean constructive criticism. I mean, someone have an idea about doing something, it's like, you really think you could pull that off, or you look terrible in that. And then, you know, another a big thing is, like, if you want to make friends, make yourself available. So make an effort to see new friends regularly, maybe via Zoom, and check in with them in between that time. You know, invite them to lunch or gatherings and accept invitations as well. Like, it may feel awkward at first, like it feels uncomfortable, but try to pick a set time. So, like, maybe like the first day of the month to go to brunch, to have a video call. And, you know, setting that routine builds the momentum. So after a while, you don't even feel like it's a plan anymore. You might just even be looking forward to that interaction, and it helps you to stay close.
So even when I look at, like, my friendships, so the friends that I've had, like, from high school, it was definitely easier back then to spend unlimited time, you know? But now, with our work schedules, the different time zones, sometimes it does become challenging to find time to not only check in, but to make sure that it's not, like, just superficial or, you know, like, just small talk, like, to make sure, like, we're still connecting X, Y, and Z. And I think that's just where it really just goes back to making the effort. You know, because when we have, like, our scheduled calls and things like that, this gives us now, it gives you the opportunity to, like, catch up with what's going on in their lives, because you want to remain connected, you know, as persons, you know, like, start to develop new relationships with other persons in their life. If you're not there, you don't want to feel like you don't really know anything about their life anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that you're still connected. And I think making time, it's just very important. We make time for so much other things.
Yeah.
For work, for our romantic partners, for ourselves, at least I hope so, you know, that we should also just try to make time for our loved ones to, and to reach out to our loved ones.
Yeah, I agree. And for anyone who's just like, no, like, I'd be trying, but it's like I think about it later and I'm like, so awkward. I sound so awkward. I sound so creepy asking this person to be my friend. Or, like, nobody will even have the time or want to be my friend. You know, one of our greatest fears. So one of the greatest fears in the human experience is being rejected. So I want to clue you all in on something that we've been talking about so often. Like, you're not alone. You're not alone in your feelings. You're not alone in these thoughts. These thoughts are quite common. Like, remember that almost everyone wishes they had more meaningful connections. And there's no other way to get this without going through the, you know, the getting to know someone stage. So if you find yourself feeling this way, maybe before a meetup or maybe even during it, practice mindfulness. So you may imagine the worst outcomes and start thinking, like, maybe I should just cancel. Let me just stay home. Every time you imagine yourself thinking the worst, try to take note of how often these embarrassing outcomes actually happen. The 10 times that you have attempted, or sometimes it's not even the 10 times, it's like, I attempted it twice, that's all I needed, I'm out. And it's really like, that's not, it only happened twice. So chances are, these embarrassing things that we're so worried about happening probably don't happen nearly as often as we think they will. And if they do happen, remember that you can manage these feelings and they will pass. Yeah. So what I do sometimes, like, even like when me and Marissa first met. So when I was coming to my graduate program, I was already feeling nervous. Like, I'm like, whew, I'm feeling nervous. And I already know that I'm doing like a bit of a brisk walk to get there because I'm not trying to be late. So I'm like, this is probably affecting my emotions too. Like, I'm feeling the heartbeat, my heart rate racing. And so maybe now I'm like, ooh, because my heart is racing, I'm feeling more nervous because I'm like, this is usually a symptom of like nervousness. But anyway, I just remember walking in there, I'm like, okay, I'm like standing out the door for like 3 seconds outside of the room. And I'm like, okay, just go in, just say hi first. Because you know from past experience with you, if you don't say hi first, it's gonna be this like awkward kind of like looking at other people and not really saying anything. But if you just break the ice, all you have to do is say hi. And if it doesn't go beyond that point, that's okay. So that's what I did. I walked in there, I said hi. And who did I talk to first? Marissa. And it just like went from there. It's like, oh, you're Bahamian? Oh yeah, I'm Bahamian. Wow, I didn't expect to see another Bahamian here. And then someone else joined the conversation. Hi, I'm so and so. And it was a lot better than I anticipated. And then for me too, I think sometimes I have this like feeling with like older friendships or people I have like seen or spent time with like once or twice before. And it was like a good, it was like a good vibe. Like it could have gone somewhere in terms of a friendship. Like when I see them out again, like it's usually been so much time after that. So sometimes it's like 8 months, a year, 2 years. So in my mind, I have this thought like,
they're not gonna remember who I am. Like that's like the worst thing for me.
And like someone in the program, I saw what she was doing. She ended up doing some like CBT therapeutic questions with me. And she's just like, but what's the worst that could happen if you try to talk to them and you're not sure if they like, if they know you? I'm just like, they could not know who I am. And they're just like, so what about this would be so terrible? And then I'm just like, well, I'd have to introduce myself. And then when I heard of that, when I heard myself say it out loud, I'm like, that sounds so silly. Like, you could just introduce yourself and they don't remember you. Like, that's okay. And like, for me, I don't remember everybody either. So like, I flipped myself into their shoes. And yeah. And then like, the best thing is like, they remember me. And then we just talk and it's not awkward. It's like, wow, that's doable. So sometimes just asking yourself these questions, what's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? And just practice some deep breathing, like slow that breathing rate. If it's like, but I think also like if your anxiety is concerning and prevents you from even attempting to make new friends, you may want to actually seek out the help of a therapist, counselor, and a life coach for that. Because it may be more serious than you think it is.
Yeah. And for those of you who may feel like you don't have enough friends, you know, that goes back to those expectations again, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's easy for people to feel like you're supposed to have countless friends, just people just always available, always ready to go out and to do things. But when you look at like developments, just as we get older, the amount of friends that we have actually decrease a bit, and it's not necessarily because something bad happened and you just kept losing friends. But I think just naturally as you age, it's less about quantity. And I think just more about quality. Because if you really have a strong group of individuals that you know who are committed to you, they constantly show up for you, you could trust them, you know, they give you good advice, they allow you to vent, you know, just good vibes all around, and they're satisfying all of your needs, it's kind of like, well, what reason do I really have to go out and seek more friends? You know what I mean? Because yeah. Those friends that you have, they're just so valuable. And of course, this isn't to say take away from building a diverse network of friends, but just naturally this tends to happen. So if you notice that maybe you don't have as much friends now as you did before you go and think about that being necessarily a negative thing, maybe just evaluate the friendships that you have. Is it that the friendships that I have now are more satisfying to me? You know, do I feel more comfortable with these people? Because yes, you might have had a bunch of friends back in the day, but were all those friends like relationships that you enjoy 100%? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's all about perspective, you know? Yeah. And it's also knowing that one friendship isn't necessarily going to meet all of your needs.
Exactly.
You know, so you could have maybe a group of four, maybe you could have like four friends, but each of them kind of like tap into different things. You know, you have that friend that you go to confide in about, you know, that guy that the group chat hate. You know this friend ain't gonna come with the judgment, so you know you just confide in that and they allow you that venting space. And then you have another friend where it's like y'all just send memes and just laugh at funny stuff all day, you know. So I think the good thing is relationships is to always just remember the rules of the relationship don't have to, it's not like a broad brush, it's, you know, it's not black and white, and you're gonna have different types of relationship that satisfies different types of needs.
Yeah, I think that's like the same thing with like the situation of best friends. There may be some people who are concerned because they don't have a best friend, and like you said, like, you know, you could have a group of close friends that like each of them provide you with something different, and you can meet up at different times with each of them.
And, like, I think in terms of building more genuine connections,
sometimes, you know, we can spend hours on social media. We know we can. Each day, just liking, I know writing, and LOLing
on the people's Pixar statuses.
And it may give you this false impression that you have more friends or you're very close with this person who you really haven't had, like, a genuine conversation with for, like, 8 years.
You know, so it can give you that false impression that you have that closer connection with them when you don't.
Because when you're experiencing something super exciting or something like that might have been traumatic, like you can't lean on them for support. So it can still leave you lonely because you lack the deepest connection that you were looking for. So I think that's also why it's important that we invest more time into our more genuine relationships as well. So I think the last thing I would scenario think about is like, you know, when you're thinking like, oh, I moved somewhere else and I'm really not sure how I can meet new friends. Like, there's nobody here who can, like, connect me to their friend, you know? So I think what we do a lot sometimes, we overlook the potential. So you might have overlooked some potential friends that you have, you know, the people you casually interact with. So this might be people at work, you know, classmates, you have kids, the soccer moms. So it's easy to grow relationships if we already have something in common with them. And, you know, we're already, like, spend some time with them. And that way we're being like really efficient to like, I already know I have this time to spend with you because I'm kind of forced to anyway. So if I feel like there's potential for growth there, oh, this could be a great thing. So you may also need to go places where others are. You can attend like community events that, you know, they often listed in the newspaper, or, you know, you can find them over Google. You can volunteer at a charity or a place of worship. You could take up a new interest. So like a new aerobics class at a gym, like a dancer or something. Or take a walk, talk to neighbors. There's so many endless possibilities for how we can maintain, build friendships. And, you know, there's no cut and dry way of doing it. So it's just looking at what works for you and what works for the other person and seeing how this can work together.
Yeah, I think when you kind of shed the narrative around friendships and kind of just accept, okay, yeah, this might be awkward, I might get embarrassed, so what? I think once you like get over that hurdle, making friendships become a bit, it becomes a bit easier because we're out of our, we come out of our head at that point and we just focus on the nature of the connection as well. And I think now more than ever, because things are virtual, it's easier to join clubs because you don't even have to go there in person. You just, you know, log in and, you know, through like planning maybe an event for the club or doing a fundraiser. This is when you get to like see people and know people like through doing things. And this allows you like insight into, oh, you know, I kind of, both of us was laughing at that thing. You know, I think I'm gonna reach out. I think I'm gonna, you know, send them a little text. And, you know, you never really know how it goes. And for those of you who might already have friendships that you feel like, oh, you need to put more effort into or you want to work on, then that works too. Reach out to them and just be like, hey, we haven't connected in a while. Let's set some time aside to link, to do a link up, to send messages back and forth or to do a video chat. It's all about just after you've gone out of your way to make the friendship, ensure that you're still doing the things to maintain the friendship. And if things don't work out, it's just more information to let you know, like, what could be done next time. So we're at the end of today's episode.
And we want to say thanks so much for listening. We see you and we appreciate you.
You can keep up with us on Instagram
at Adulted Loading Podcast
for the latest updates. See you next time.
Later.